In the absence of FPL this weekend, we're here to fill the void. We try to forget a frustrating game week and focus on strategy. We plan our chips by revisiting the incoming assistant manager and pick a potential wildcard. Hello guys, Thursday. Yes, FPL Pod back with you once again. No FPL to look forward to this weekend, of course, because there's no Premier League. It's an FA Cup weekend, but you know what we're like. We just can't keep away. Julian Laurent and Sam Bonfield with me to preview next week, but also to have a bit of a reflection and help us sort our teams out. Some of us, myself, need that more than others. Firstly, Jules, you're not in England once again. You are. I kind of want the listener to understand your commitment to this podcast and also how bonkers your life is.
No, but like it's, I would not miss this podcast for anything in the whole world. You know that. So wherever I am in the world, I can always do it in Saudi Arabia this week for a game tonight. And then I come back straight after. Literally, I take the 1 a.m. flight to be back in London at 5 a.m. On Friday.
See, when we say that he watches every football and he's across everything in the world, we aren't joking. He literally is in another country checking out an entirely different league for us this week.
Remember last time I watched the Liverpool, the Spurs-Liverpool game?
Of course you did.
Last time was that. But on Bein Sport here in Arabic, trying to make sense of what they were saying.
That is commitment. Sam, you're always in your trusty, I call it your FPL seat because I know that that's kind of where you do all of your work from. You work from home a lot and FPL is your life. I'm not saying it's not yours, Jules, but it is more Sam's. How are you?
Definitely.
I'm great, thanks. I had a great night last night at the Spurs Stadium, finally watching a win for the first time in what feels like a long, long time. So yeah, I'm feeling good this morning.
Yeah, that's quite rare for us to come on here.
I know, it's positive.
The jinx is over.
Until I've got to talk about FPL from last week and then I'll feel negative again.
Trust me, I've been dreading this podcast. I have been dreading it. Anyway, let's move on. Yeah, as Sam alluded to then, there's no Premier League this weekend, but it's really busy with the Cups coming into play. EFL Cup action this week. We've already seen Arsenal versus Newcastle and Spurs versus Liverpool in the semi-final first legs. Sam, do you want to remind people of the Spurs score in case they didn't know?
Yeah, we won, Kels. 1-0. Kelly, we scored a goal and we kept a clean sheet. It was a miracle.
I was watching your stories in bed and having to be quite quiet because of my daughter. And I couldn't read your, I'm talking about Instagram stories. I couldn't listen to them because I had to have them on mute, but just your smile. And I was like, oh, she's happy.
So yeah, I was. I'm very loud. One of the guys that was sitting about three rows behind me messaged me on Instagram after the game and was like, you're very loud at football matches. I was like, yeah, well, it's quite loud.
It's very loud in general, isn't it?
Sorry. Yeah. Just generally quite loud. Yeah.
Okay. So the League Cup is done for now. And bizarrely, it's a Thursday, but the FA Cup actually starts tonight. It's the FA Cup third round, of course, this weekend with the Premier League sides coming in. We're going to reflect a little bit on the game week that was and kind of have a bit of a strategy chat because we'll be back on Monday to preview the next game week, which actually gets underway on Tuesday. You know, when I promise you that we're in the new year now and you'd know which day of the week it was, I lied. We still don't have a clue because football isn't helping us at the moment. It's all over the place, isn't it? Let's just talk about our game week then. Let's rip the band-aid off and talk about, I think on the whole for all of us, a really disappointing week. Who wants to go first? Don't all rush at once, Jules.
Yeah, I can go first. 50 points. You're right. Pretty much a terrible week, especially after all the green arrows that I had recently. It's just one of those where only, I think, four of my players returned. Chris Wood, who I brought in, like we mentioned in the last show, was good with that goal. Proper Chris Wood type of goal. Isak always scores right now, so that was a no-brainer. Plus Palmer and Saka as well. But everybody else, from Martinelli to the Joel Linton experiment, Nico Jackson being bad Nico again. It's been for a few weeks now. And then defensively, nobody returned. Saliba, Hall, Robinson, Henderson. It was pretty negative defensively. So below average, which is not good. Red arrow, obviously, but we move on.
We do move on, Sam.
Yeah, it was a disastrous week.
Jules did his best to make that positive. Me and Sam are just like, nah.
There's nothing positive. Well, actually, so on Saturday lunchtime, I actually thought it was going to be an okay game week because obviously I had Solanke as well who got a return. So I was thinking, oh, actually, this is looking like it might be quite a good one. And then it just went rapidly downhill. Sepp Vandenberg being on my bench, the only player that I had available to play that was on my bench last week was a disaster because obviously he outscored the entirety of the rest of my defence. defence. Like you, Kels brought in Trent for his zero pointer, so that was fun. Luis Diaz, couldn't he have walked off a little bit slower and picked up that extra point, 4 seconds? And now Evan Nilsson's broke a bone in his foot. So that's a problem that I've got to deal with when I was hoping not to have to make a transfer this week. But 51, it's a red. It's not a ridiculously bad red, though. So it's just a bit of a frustrating one because I'd had a few good weeks and we were starting to get some momentum going again. But it feels disappointing because, again, I feel like there were so many points that could have been in that game.
Yeah, I agree. I'll just get my bit out of the way. Sam's written on the script here, transfers were a nightmare. I think that's being kind, to be honest. I took a -4. I was always going to bring in Trent. Yep.
Wow.
Do you want to know what how much the two players that I bought in got between them?
Yeah.
One.
1 point. So you're -3 overall on those two transfers.
God, nothing gets past you, Jules.
Hey! No, that's great. That's great.
I'm more annoyed.
You're a great sporting director.
Because I don't know if I mentioned it on this podcast last week or if I was just talking about it off air at the fantasy show last week, where I was saying I was going to take a -8 actually and do Wood as well for Cunha. And then I just thought -8 is bonkers. I won't do it. And I decided that I didn't think Chris Wood was as explosive as Luis Diaz or Anthony Gordon was my other option.
Yeah.
And in true Kelly style at 10:58, I decided to go with Diaz because I just thought there was more upside. I thought he could be more explosive. But I knew in my heart that Gordon was a better long-term pick. And when he scored in that early kickoff straight away, I thought this isn't going well. I didn't expect it to go as badly as 1 point and Luis Diaz coming off on 59 minutes and 56 seconds, but kind of sums up my season. Another red arrow, but I've only had like two red arrows in the last 2 weeks, but that's only two in about 11 game weeks, I think. So yeah. Like
you already regretting Trent, Kelly?
Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Because not only did he not return, but that performance.
It's the budget as well.
And yeah, the budget and the fact that Connor Bradley is back fit now as well. And all of the games and the competitions they've got coming up. If he's going to play like that, he's not like, you know, like Mo Salah, you thought he's going to play in every game because he's essential to how Liverpool play. I don't know if Trent is right now.
No, the one thing I will say is that last night when Trent came on, he offered them a lot more attacking threat than Connor Bradley did when he was playing. And I know that Connor Bradley's just coming back from injury, but I must admit, I was frustrated. When I saw Konate in the starting 11, I was like, oh, this is really annoying because I could have gone there. I just didn't think he were quite ready yet. And had I gone there, that would have saved a load of the budget. That would have made the dealing with Evan Nilsson stuff a little bit easier. It would have made upgrades in the middle could have been done a little bit easier. So yeah, having that money tied up in Trent now feels like a bit of a mistake, but we'll see what happens next midweek, I guess, and go from there.
I'm a bit annoyed because obviously the week before I bought in Raya as well to double up on the Arsenal defence. And in hindsight, I wish I'd just gone with
a Sells
or even a Pickford, but it's probably a Sells and think how much money I could have saved because, yeah, we've got an assistant managership to have at some point. And the good players are obviously, we know the way it works, the good players are getting more expensive. So, yeah, I've thought about wildcarding, but I won't just yet. We'll talk about chips in just a moment. Before I do that, let's talk about the FPL Pod Mini League because Charlie Shepherd, what a season he's having. He is still top. He did play his wild card, so maybe I should as well. He got 79 points and his lead over Max Littleproud in second is now 9 points. These are the transfers that Charlie made. Talking of Raya, he went Raya to Sells, which did pay off. Robinson to Castagna. We're assuming that must be because Castagna's that little bit cheaper. I guess they scored the same this week. Poro for Trent, that one didn't quite work so much. Semenyo to Mbeumo. Mbeumo, we've spoken about it on this podcast before, someone that we all kind of regret jumping off. Sar to Rodgers. Rodgers was suspended, so you think that was a more long-term thing. Greece for Munoz. Munoz, again, unlucky. Duran to Wood and Solanke to Jesus, which didn't quite work. So, yeah. Pretty good looking wild card. And I wonder if he can hold his lead at the top spot, of course, because now he has used his second wild card. Congratulations to Nick Onions, who joins the top three. Their team, NR20, got 80 points, moved from Enzo to Gordon. A little bit more money there, but certainly getting the returns. And also, by the way, four of the top six managers all had Cunha for game week 20, and they all sold him for Wood, which worked well. Another sign that maybe I should have done that. Pod Mini League code is Q7YCO0. Okay, then I mentioned the wild card then because Charlie's already used his, Jules. I feel like I probably know the answer to this with you being you, but have you thought about a chip strategy?
Simply because when I saw it on the script, I was like, okay, I need to work on this. It's a bad time.
Right.
So, as we know this season, less double game weeks, less blanks as well because of the way the FA Cup, as you know, Kels, because you're heavily involved in the FA Cup in the terms of presenting a lot of those games. So, it would be a slightly different season than we are usually used to, which is interesting. And as we said, the League Cup, the EFL Cup, was the semi-final yesterday. That final will be played on game week 29. So obviously the two teams from the Premier League will play in the League Cup final. Wembley on game week 29 won't play in the Premier League that weekend. So they will have a double game week to follow probably on game week 33. So if it's Newcastle, Arsenal, Liverpool or Spurs, two of those four will have a double game week in game week 33, very likely, because they won't play on, they would blank on 29. And that means also two other teams will also, we'll have four double game week teams really in 33. And game week 36 should be one with even more because of the FA Cup. That should be the only double game week there for that. So keep in mind double game week 33 and 36, where you play your wildcard probably, a bench boost at some point, and then obviously the assistant new chip, because it would be mad not to play at that time. So that's where I look at it. So I think your wild card gets you prepared for 33, 36, whenever you think is best time to play. Bench boost accordingly. And then I think game week 36 is probably better for your assistantship.
Yeah, it is this time of season, isn't it, Sam, where the cups and being able to find out about who's potentially going to play in the EFL Cup final, though, of course, there is still second legs to go, can kind of help you work out when potentially there could be blanks and doubles, which is of course really useful to us for chips.
Yeah, I'm very impressed that Jules knows all of that stuff, to be fair.
That's he just stolen your
that's
thunder.
What I do, you know, talent planning and vision.
So yeah, so because normally I have to come in here and go, right, there might be a blank here and there might be a double.
I know, it was quite
there.
Bold me asking him that.
I know.
I was really
impressed.
Hoping you'd go to me first, because obviously if you'd gone to Sam, she would have had all of that.
And it would have been a waste of time.
So
you doing
I was
that
like,
press.
Yes, yeah. Come on.
I'm very impressed. Yeah, so there, as Jules says, the blank in 29, there'll be another blank in 34 as well for the FA Cup stuff. So we just need to manage expectations around those game weeks. And I think the blanks and the doubles being quite close to each other will have an impact on the assistant manager chip. If you do want to play it for that first double in 33, you'll need to make sure you play in 31, 32 and 33 so you avoid the blank in 34, or you can change your manager, of course, if you've put it on a manager that then blanks in 34, so you could use the sub and swap the manager out. But I think it's important to just have in mind a strategy for when you think each chip might go, because as we've got less blanks and doubles this season, we obviously still want to maximise the potential returns that you can get out of particularly the double game weeks by using chips in them. But that means that you have to more carefully plan, because you are going to find that you potentially have more chips than you have blanks and doubles to play them in. So let's just be mindful of that and have a strategy, but equally don't feel like you've locked yourself into that. So if things change and we get, you know, a game rescheduled, like obviously we still got to have Liverpool and Everton's game rescheduled, so that's going to slot in somewhere probably early. I mean, there seems to be an expectation that'll go in the next few weeks, and if it does, that will again have an impact on people's chip strategy, because I mean, you two have got the triple captain chip left, you might choose to use that in that moment. Some people, if it comes in after game week 24, might decide this is the moment I want to use the assistant manager chip. So I think we will see some variation this year in terms of which chip is used in each week, which maybe we don't get so much in previous seasons, because people have tended to all follow the same sort of pattern with those blanks and doubles. But with the new chip, I think we might see a bit more variance.
Okay, we'll start with the wild card. We'll run through the assistant manager chip if you're still not quite sure on exactly what it means and what it will do for your squad. We'll do that very shortly, but let's go through each of the chips and we'll start with the wild card, because the second wild card is now active. And as we've been hearing, people have already played it, and it's the one that can kind of potentially set you up for all of the other chips and for the rest of the season. Jules, have you got an early indication of when you're going to play yours?
Yeah, probably around that 30s, like start of the game week 30. So maybe I think to get your team ready for 33 is a good idea. I would play the assistant chip later. As we said, it blocks you for three game weeks anyway. So to avoid game week, the blank in 34, then you've got that 36. Yeah. I think it would be great to finish with the assistant chip on 36, 37 and 38, really. That would be fun. And also I think it would be fun, we've said many times, and we would say even more when we go on to the assistant chip, there's a lot of points there for you to win. And to finish the season really strongly, playing 36, 37, 38 could be really cool and could really change the end of the season when you finish in your ranking. So personally, as a gambler, I would go for 36 to 38 every day. And I think it also makes sense. It's not just the gambling side of it and the try to go for it. But I think I like what is it Charlie? No, who is
Charlie's top?
Charlie's top. I love that Charlie played his already. I just love that because
Charlie's getting a lot of love.
I think he's great because not many people would have played it now early in that second half of the
season.
Especially
when you're doing well, it's impressive.
Yeah, it's really
to
impressive.
Play your World Cup when you're on top because when your team's doing well, it's tempting, isn't it? Just
absolutely.
Stick with it.
And as we said, you know, the wild card is not just for Christmas; it's also for the long term. So
Or for the end of the season when Kelly plays it, inevitably, all in a row at the back end of the season.
There's too many chips. There's too many chips now. I can't leave it late. I'll leave something else, probably the assistant manager, till late. But no. Jules, I just told you I was tempted to already wildcard. I won't be able to leave it another, 15 game weeks, that's for sure, this time. This is my worst ever season. I've got to sort it out at some point. Okay, so Sam, you look like you were agreeing with Jules then about roughly when you're going to play it. Shall we start with a wildcard? This is going to tempt me. A wildcard squad, if we were playing it now. This is always interesting because there's always a lot of debate. Do you want to start with your favourite position?
Well, the goalkeepers?
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I love them. I'm bound to get this one completely accurate, aren't I? I'd get Sells if I was wildcarding right now. I just think he makes absolute sense. And then I think you go for a cheap second because likely you're not going to play them in most weeks. So
also, who wants benching header and rotating headaches with goalkeepers?
Only
it's just
Sam.
One. Yeah. It's just one other. I know why people do it, but whenever I've played it in the past, as in had two playing goalkeepers and tried to rotate them, I always find you end up missing the point.
But Kels, if you wildcard now, you do need a second playing goalkeeper because the bench
chip.
So if you're going to play it, then I think you need to... I guess it depends when you play the bench boost, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Because Fabianski obviously will come back. So if you're planning to play a little bit later, I would expect eventually he comes back in. Although new manager at West Ham today, so we'll have to see which goalkeeper he prefers. Maybe he might stick with Areola. Maybe he might go back to Fabianski when available. If you're going to play a bench boost quickly, the new Spurs goalkeeper got added to the game yesterday. He's only 4.5. Obviously, longer term, I think by the end of February, Vicario should be back. But in the meantime, Kaninski is there. So you could go there. But Sells as the number one and then pick a cheap starting one as your second choice so that he's there for the bench boost.
Agree, Jules?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Raya is the other option, but you would save, I think, 0.7 for Sells is 4.9 million and Raya is 5.6. So there's a big difference there. And Raya is heavily owned at 30% and Sells, let me just double check, is obviously getting there, but not just there yet, only 13%. So even that difference between having Raya at 30% and him blanking, and having Sells at 13% and him returning, like he's done, he's kept the most clean sheets in the league. So him returning would make a massive differential for you. I know he's not technically differential at 13%, but still would be massive. So yeah, Sells every day too.
Okay, defence. Jules, myself and Sam both said then we weren't so happy owning Trent. Where do you stand on Trent firstly?
It's a tricky one. It's a really, really tricky one. I mean, let's get the certainties that we would have if we were doing a wild card for defenders, right? So one of the Forest boys, whether you want Milenkovic, Murillo or Aina, but I think one of them three would make a lot of sense. Even if you have Sells in goal and doubling up, I don't think it's a problem considering the form that they are all in right now. Then we mentioned Robinson at Fulham, Hall at Newcastle. Those, I think, make sense as well. One of Saliba, Gabriel or Virgil. Makes sense too. Then if you go for Virgil van Dijk, then maybe not for Trent. I think with Trent, if you can find the money, I would go for him because...
You would?
Yeah, I still would. I'm sorry, I still would. I know Bradley played in the League Cup. He will play in the FA Cup this weekend, but Trent is the starter and it's not the bad defensive game that he had against United. Well, it was shockingly bad, but still, that I think would change that. And he's still, as Sam said, when he comes on, it's a different team. They are just a different team when he's on the pitch with the ball. Okay, defensively, it might cost you along the season. But this is not new. We've known this for years and years and years. He's just not the best defensively. But with the ball, he makes this team so much better, so much different that there's nowhere Slot would not play him, would not start him. So if I had the money, I would go for Trent.
Okay, so just to confirm, you'd go with a Forest defender, Fulham, Arsenal or Liverpool. Is that right? You wouldn't go with both of them. Then you probably need a couple more cheapies.
Yeah, so like and Hall as well. I would have Hall in there, and then a cheap Van der Berg or a cheap like I don't know, Harwood Bellis if you just want to,
Sam, do you agree with most of those? That sounds like a really strong defense to me.
I think I'm mostly with you.
It's all right. When you disagree on this podcast, it makes better audio.
Yeah, that's true. Robinson and Hall, I'm fully with you on. I think they're a bit of a no-brainer at the moment.
Just before I go any further, because I was going to pull Jules on this, is Robinson worth the extra money over Castagna? Would it be okay to go with Castagna for budget reasons potentially or not?
Yes, it's okay to do that. But personally, I'd rather save money elsewhere by having like a Vandenberg in the fifth spot rather than, you know, somebody a little bit, like I'd rather do that than have, if that was the way that I could save money. I'd keep an Arsenal, because I'd have Sells in goal, I wouldn't have another Forest defender. I would just have Sells. And rather than having the double up of the Arsenal defence, I'd just have one Arsenal defender. So I don't, budget it's, and your team value is going to be probably the deciding factor in terms of which Arsenal defender you have, whether you have Gabriel Saliba or Timber. It doesn't really matter, just which one you can afford without compromising the rest of your team. I'd have Munoz from Palace as well. I cannot fathom how he's not got returns in the last couple of weeks. Return.
I know we said that every week. We said, he's unlucky.
But I know, but still,
You would go for somebody who's returning regularly instead of somebody who he should have returned, but he still hasn't returned. And I know the stats look good. But
the fixtures are there as well, though.
Yeah, I know.
So I don't know. I think he will come good. And I think when you look at the Palace fixtures over the next few weeks, like if you're wildcarding right now, wildcarding him in for Leicester, West Ham, Brentford, Man United, Everton, Fulham, like even Aston Villa that follow that. And then after that, it's Ipswich. Then it's Newcastle. Difficult. And then Southampton, like when you look at that run of fixtures, even if they don't clean sheet, he's got attacking returns in his locker because he's so attacking. Like I think it would be a mistake not to invest significantly in Crystal Palace if you're wildcarding right now.
Okay, so just to confirm how Jules went over his defence at the end and we kind of established, just go across your five.
So Arsenal, one of them, Robinson, Hall, Munoz, and then depending on how much money you have left, I've got Vandenberg in there because I think that will be a good budget enabler. But if you've got more money, then pick somebody better. But you will give yourself benching headaches. No, because Sells is there.
I would double up on Forest if I could.
Interesting.
She's not going to argue with you there. She's just going to pause and let me move on.
Into that means she disagrees when she doesn't.
No, I don't disagree. I can see it. I absolutely can see it.
It's probably one of those debates that could go back and forward for ages. Yeah. And she realises this is a podcast with a finite amount of time. So let's go to midfielders. Sam, you go first this time.
Salah, Palmer. They're just inevitable. And then the other three I think are fun. Like you can be a bit different there. I think Anthony Gordon, I regret my life choices not getting Anthony Gordon.
Me too.
A couple of weeks back. I think going back to Brentford and then Vomo makes a lot of sense. Like he's just been on form and even with the fixtures difficult, he still returns really nicely. So I'd have those two. And then the third one I found really hard because with an eye on double game weeks, keeping Luis Diaz there is sensible. But I do like the idea of an Ismaïla Sarr or an Eze or somebody from Palace in that final slot. So the final slot I'm a bit more torn on, but the first four I think are pretty much no-brainers if you're wildcarding right now.
Jules, firstly, do you agree on the fact that Salah and Palmer are the two that are straight in non-negotiable, yeah?
Yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Okay, then
let's hear your slightly different three.
Yeah, because I would have Rodgers every day in there, in the five, without a doubt, now that he's back from suspension.
Even if you had the money to go for a more expensive player instead?
Yeah, because you can then spend your money in forwards anyway. So, but I think Rodgers, for the value for money is so good that I would not have Morgan Rodgers. Then I'll have probably Gordon first and then move Mbeumo on, potentially move from Gordon to Mbeumo after the City and Liverpool fixtures for Brentford, because as much as I love Mbeumo, I think those two games coming up for Brentford are just, even if they're both at the GTEC Stadium, they're just horrendous fixtures, I think. And I'm not sure I would want Mbeumo for those two, but after that, yeah, no problem. Even if there's Spurs there, but you know, it's the Spurs defense. So I would probably do that. But then I could have Murphy when I don't have Gordon anymore, because I think Murphy, as we mentioned in two shows ago, I think is outstanding too and much cheaper than Gordon. And then I don't know, I like a Gibbs White, I like a Luis Diaz pick that Sam
you
mentioned.
You can't have Gibbs White though if you want to have Chris Wood up top, because you've got the double Forest
true,
defense.
Yeah, but you don't. You might not have Chris Wood up front as well. So I think
spoiler.
I know, but I think Wood is good. But in that case, you don't double up at the back. This is still like I'm not playing my wild card. I'm just saying this is options that people can have.
So
I think Gibbs White or Elanga or who are in great form right now would be good picks too.
So Sam's. The difference is there then. There's quite a few differences, really. I guess the three that you're both having are Salah, Palmer, and it sounds like you both have Gordon for now.
Yeah.
At least. Yeah. And then it's just budget. It is true, actually. We didn't set a price limit on this wildcard. I know that's something that listeners are going to say. Well, is it 100 million? Is it more? We're kind of being flexible. We're just saying they're the best players. We're trying to consider budget options as well. Sam, I was interested, actually, that you didn't go Rodgers, because you've talked a lot about his value for money on this podcast. And I think you said a few times he's someone that won't really disappear from your team this season.
Yeah, and it was difficult because I actually think that when... So I fitted this into my team value so that this was a squad that I could have picked in my team. And so Rodgers stayed there right until the end. And then I was like, oh, there's a lot of midfielders. And I think this is the issue, is that actually really, because of Salah and Palmer, you're talking about three midfielder spots. So it's kind of like, well, I got three slots and there's about six or seven really serious contenders to have those spots at the moment, like that you could easily go with, which is what's kind of making the game so much fun right now, is that you can all go very different ways with it. So Morgan Rodgers stayed right until the end, and then I still had the money in the squad because the defence is, I mean, apart from one, and I budgeted for mine by keeping Timber. Mm-hmm. So my defence has got so little spend in it that there's plenty of budget to upgrade. So I kind of was like, well, maybe Rodgers does become somebody that's got the potential upside of additional double game weeks or that kind of thing. So I think Rodgers still is a fantastic pick. I really liked him. He was a reluctant sacrifice in this midfield five. Whether I could actually bring myself to part with him when playing my wild card remains to be seen, because the other problem I've got is that I've built this squad and the front eight is ridiculous and I don't know who gets benched each week.
Okay, should we move on to the... Let's maybe talk about forwards, because then it will maybe help us understand midfield picks as well. George, you can go first on forwards this time.
Yeah, I've got two outstanding right now in Isak and Woods. And again, I know I've said too many Forest players, but it's just for people to have, you know, to have ideas. But I think Isak and Woods, I don't know how long for Wood it will continue, but I've said that before and he's proved me wrong. So like I said, great. I think Isak is the best number nine in not just in the Premier League right now, but in Europe, full stop. So he's a must have. And then the third one, I'm not sure. I like Nico Jackson a lot, but as we said, when bad Nico takes over good Nico, then he's a problem for us in the game because he's expensive and not returning. Four game week in a row now with no returns from him. I like the draw of Pedro, but I still find that Brighton, who haven't won in eight now, I think, or nine, are still a little bit, we don't know what we're going to get from them and from him, even if he's on pens. Haaland is going to come back, obviously, to being Erling Haaland, and City are going to come back to become Manchester City, so he will be back in the conversation too. So yeah, two for sure, and the third one, I'm not sure I can help much right now.
Sam?
Isak Wood. I'd Raul Jimenez in the third slot.
Oh, does that not scare you for the rotation?
Yeah, but the Fulham fixtures are great, aren't they? And actually, yes, it does. There might be a game here or there, but we have actually seen Muniz and Jimenez playing together recently. So that's interesting as well. Like when he's coming, it hasn't necessarily been sacrifice Jimenez. So I had him there because also he saves money. Now, this team that I built wasn't actually that far away from being able to afford Haaland. Like there's little tweaks and sacrifices you can make. Because I think part of my issue with wildcarding now is that we're kind of in a bit of a moment with Man City where we don't really know whether...
I know.
Like who... None of us, either Jules or I, have mentioned a Man City player at all in the whole of this squad. Yet they're starting to show some green shoots of recovery. So this team kind of worried me a little bit because I was like, if you're wildcarding now, I think if you're wildcarding three game weeks down the line, you'll be in a really nice position where hopefully we'll have a bit more understanding of Man City and who you can invest in if it's not Haaland. But right now, I would struggle to invest in anyone outside of Haaland. Like Savio did his best to put his hand up last week, but then is that going to be continuing going forward? Who knows? So I tried to make a team that could get to Haaland. It just about nearly could if Luis Diaz became Morgan Rogers again, then we can make that work.
Ah, you want Rogers again now, you see?
Jules, I never don't want Rogers. I love Morgan Rogers, but I think having some flexibility in the front line, but Isak and Wood for me, they're just like so far above everybody else right now. Dom Solanke's returned 5 in 7. So I'm getting to the point now. Yeah. Like every time I think about, well, I've got Evan Nilsson to deal with, haven't I, first as well now because he's out. But yeah, I think Isak, Wood, Jimenez is probably what I'd do if I was wildcarding today.
What do you make of the Jimenez pick quickly, Jules?
Yeah, I mean, they've got West Ham and Leicester coming up. After that, they have United, Newcastle and Forest back to back.
Yeah, but you can move him on then.
Yeah, but you said the Fulham fixtures were great. The next two are good. After that, I'm not sure about Fulham going forward. I think they probably create just about enough for Sam to be right and Raul Jimenez to be your third one, just about ahead of everybody else that you can have in there.
Okay, so that's our wildcard squad. Still plenty. It's going to have a few options in there. And as I said, it does depend on your budget and the like. But yeah, we'll move on because we want to talk about the other chips as well. Just a quick word on bench boost. Let's not go on about this one for too long because I think we've already established the fact that you kind of do have to play it in conjunction with the wildcard because you've either got to build a wildcard team that has a bench that's good enough to boost or maybe your wildcard now, would you say, Sam, if your bench is good enough. Not wildcard, your bench boost now, sorry.
I think the bench boost chip is one that you don't have to play in a double game week. So if you're running out of double game weeks because you've got all chips, you can play this at any point. And if you're looking at a team, like I said to Lee a couple of weeks ago, just before he had that game week where he had the ridiculous bench, I was like, your team's a goalkeeper, a sub-goalkeeper away from being bench boostable right now because everyone's playing, everyone's in form. If you look at your team over the next few weeks and think that bench has got 20 plus points in it. If you're struggling with who you're going to bench, then just play the chip because waiting for a double isn't always the right thing to do with the bench boost. And sometimes it can feel like a bit of a chalice, like poison chalice, the bench boost, because you can hold money in your bench, which you could invest in your, because like these wildcard squads that we've just built, they've got money across every position because you have to if you're going to play a bench boost at some point. Whereas once the bench boost is played and out of the way, obviously you need some money in the bench, but they're just backup. So you can go as cheap as possible and then invest as much as possible in your squad. So that's going to enable you to have a much better ability to get like Salah and Palmer and Haaland if you want to go back there or somebody else really important. So I don't think you have to prioritize it. I think using it in conjunction with the wild card is good. But if you've got a bench that just looks great in a single game, we'll just hit it then.
Agree, Jules?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Okay, perfect. Oh, you're getting to grips with it, both of you now. Short answers at certain points so we can move on. Free hit then. There is less blanks and doubles this season, as we've said. So this kind of makes me less excited about the free hit because normally you just wait for a really good, well, it feels like in recent seasons I've been using it on the blank game weeks where there's like a heavily blank game week. Where I don't know if that's going to be the case this year. What do you think, Jules?
Yeah, we said 29, game week 29 would be one because of the League Cup final. 34 would be another one. So it also depends who you are invested in. If you have three Liverpool players and three Arsenal players, for example, and then they face each other in the League Cup final, I should have said Spurs. Okay, if you have three Spurs players and
nobody's
three,
got that.
And three Arsenal players, and then they face each other in the League Cup final on game week 29. So the Premier League will play that weekend, but there will also be the League Cup final that weekend. So that means six players out of your squad who are blanking then play your free hit then. So I think as much as you can plan ahead, and as you know, planning, talent and vision is the key here. As much as you want to plan ahead and you should plan ahead for a lot of those things that we mentioned, chip, et cetera, for this one, maybe you just play it when... With the occasion, really, because you know that those two game weeks, 29-34, will have blanks for sure. Definitely four teams minimum would blank. So it depends who the players, you know, what players you have and then play then. But I think I like the free because there's free in it. You can play whenever. I mean, Kelly, you play at the most ridiculous time because you forget to play all season long. So then
No, it's not. The other chips, I'm not as stingy with. I'm stingy with my wild card because for me, I feel like a wild card is like, it's more of a commitment, isn't it? Because it's for longer term. So with the one-offs, I'm fine because you can get over it by the next week.
But with free hit, just before Sam goes, what is great as well is that you might find one of those game weeks that you really fancy and you think, you know what? I can see teams and players in that game week that are going to do well. So it's not, there's no blanks. There's not a double either. It's just, oh, I fancy him to do well in that because the fixtures just fall nicely.
It can be really fun, can't it? I mentioned before that I've played it in game weeks where there's loads of blanks because teams aren't playing. But then you see other managers, maybe those managers, Sam, that chase the upside, that just look at it and think, wow, City are back in form. City, Liverpool, Arsenal have all got brilliant fixtures. They're all playing, I don't know, teams at the very bottom of the table. This could be fun to play it this week because I don't know which one or two Arsenal players or I haven't got enough coverage. That's another way to look at playing it, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And playing it in a double game week is another option because you can massively chase the upside, particularly if it's a double game week where your team doesn't have very many team players doubling. Like you could then go, well, okay, I'll hit it now. And then I can bring in, I can have basically 12 players that all play twice this week.
It's the best chip.
What, the free hit?
Yeah, I love it.
For someone like Jules, I think it's a really good chip because it is, like I mentioned there, the people that chase the upside, the people that...
Oh, I find perhaps, it really stressful, the
no,
free
but Sam, I think this is where you and I are a little bit different to Jules in that we find we probably overthink things at times and we get stressed by our decisions, whereas Jules just sees the fun and the upside in it and the opportunity rather than what could go wrong. And I do think there's two... we're reflective of two, and I probably sit in between you two, I would say, but we're reflective of different FPL managers and the way you can view these chips and the game in general.
And I think last season, Jules had a brilliant free hit last season and it went really well for him. Kells, we played it in that blank game week where Spurs lost massively.
And that goes to what I'm saying with Jules, really. Like if you go into it with a kind of like, I'm just going to chase the upside, this is just going to be fun. Whereas you and I did it almost to make sure we didn't have a really bad game week rather than to have a really... That's what I felt.
But then we did have a really bad game week. And I think that's the problem is that if you play it in a... Okay, so the negatives of playing it in a blank game week are that there's less players to choose from. So basically, everyone who plays it in that game week has got a smaller pool of players and therefore are more likely to pick the same players. So your ability to get a green arrow out of that chip in a blank game week is smaller. If you play it in a double game week, where you've got multiple teams playing twice, then you have the far bigger upside potential because you're more likely to pick a different team to everyone else. So therefore, your ability to get a big green is heightened because you can pick players that are different. So, and if you play it in a single game week, equally the case, because you're then just targeting the best fixtures of that game week, so more likely to get a green. The one thing I would say about playing it in a single game week is there is still the massive probability that the players that you have before you played the free hit do well, and therefore you limit it. Whereas in a blank game week, you don't have that because obviously you're just taking out players that blank.
Yeah.
So you're limiting it that way. I think what happens in the second leg of the League Cup semi-finals will be quite important in terms of whether we play it. If the Newcastle game is off, that's Newcastle versus Palace. If the Spurs game is off, that's Spurs versus Fulham. Now, those are four teams that you're probably going to have some investment in, a couple of Newcastle, maybe a Palace, maybe a Fulham, but you can probably use your transfers to get away with that. If it ends up being an Arsenal-Liverpool, then I think that's harder because Arsenal-Chelsea would be off. Again, you're going to have Palmer, you're going to have at least Salah and probably one other. And then Liverpool and Villa. They're much more difficult to get around because we've all got Morgan Rodgers, we've got Palmer, we've got Salah, I've got Luis Diaz, I've got Trent, I've got Timber.
Saliba.
Raya. So you're heavily invested in those clubs. And at that point, you're probably looking at a squad that's maybe like eight players down, maybe even nine players down. And if you're nine players down, you're going to have to do something about it. So you're either going to have to prep for it by using your transfers. And maybe this is a case for, you know, rolling some transfers over the next few weeks, or you're going to have to free hit. So we will know about this. Obviously, it's like going into game week 25. So we're going to have like 4 weeks notice. So you will be able to use your transfers, but equally, are these players you want to sell? So you're probably going to have to roll, save up your transfers and then use them or free hit. We don't really know what the 34th game week is going to look like yet because we don't have enough information about the FA Cup. But once we get a bit more understanding there, then that will help us as well. So it's going to be quite squad specific at the moment with it being... If it goes the way that it currently is, and it's the Spurs and Newcastle games that are off, I'll probably hold it and use it in 34. If it goes the other way and it's Arsenal and Liverpool, then I'll probably use it in 29.
Okay, on to the final chip and the newest chip, then the assistant manager. I'll just run through exactly what this entails, as I promised I would. The mystery chip has become the assistant manager chip. It gives you the chance to earn points from one of the 20 actual Premier League managers, and that's based on wins, draws and clean sheets. The point system are as follows. If a team managed by that manager wins, you get 6 points. If a team draws, you get 3 points. If there's a goal scored by the team, 1 point per goal. A clean sheet from the team, 2 points. And if your chosen manager faces a club ranked at least 5 places higher in the Premier League table at the start of the game week, you get an extra 10 points for a win, so 16 in total, or an additional 5 points for a draw, so 8 in total. A reminder, when you activate this chip and choose your assistant manager, you'll score points for their club's results for 3 game weeks in a row. You can't activate it for 1 game week and then stop it and activate it later. It has to be for a bank of 3. This is available from game week 24. This doesn't cost you a free transfer, but if you want to change your manager during this 3-week game week period, it will cost a transfer in exactly the same way as players. And a reminder, of course, this is a chip, so it can't be played in the same week as the other chips. Did I cover everything?
Yes, that was very good.
That was
good.
Amazing. Well done.
With the help of fantasy.premierleague.com, you can read the full article
that's
on there.
Okay.
Well, no, I was skim reading it, and I was just trying to pull out the key bits because I think it is important to us three are well drilled on what it all is. But the amount of times I talk to someone, like one of my friends, about it, and they go, "Well, does it cost you a transfer? Can you change manager?" Like, there are quite a few like little caveats and nuances that we're used to because we're talking about it all the time. But maybe your average listener and player isn't. So yeah, they're the key points. Jules, your early thoughts are to play it towards the end of the season.
Yeah.
Would you not look to play it over a double, or is it just a case that other chips are just better?
No,
over
I think there'll be a double in 36,
yeah, true,
a massive,
actually.
The biggest
yeah.
double of the season, actually. So it's perfect to start with it. I think it's fun to play it last and to get as many points as you can. Also, by then, we will have some teams on holidays already. We will know it, and we said it every week.
On the beach.
They would have booked their holidays, their flights. They'd be thinking about the holidays in the Maldives or in the Seychelles, wherever they want to go, in Miami. And yes, they would be playing, but subconsciously, and I'm not saying that they would play to lose, but subconsciously, they just won't be there. We know it happens every single season. Mm. So it's a no-brainer. And by then, we will know that. By then, if Spurs are still 10th and Ange wants to go for it, go with Ange, and it would be teams above them in the table and get you more points. If you want to play safe, play with Slot or Pep if they are doing well at the time. So it would depend who has something to still win and earn and who doesn't at the time. You have to look at the fixtures. I mean, there's obviously a Liverpool-Arsenal on game week 36. So that, just on paper, the Liverpool-Arsenal looks amazing. So I'm not sure if you would go for Arteta or Slot for that fixture. But as we said earlier, I think you can change your manager after the first game, etc. If you still have a free transfer, for example, and enough money in the bank. So this is all, again, needs planning. But I think to play 36, 37, 38 would be super exciting.
Okay. Sam, do you agree? And also the other question for me is, the main question that when I've spoken to fellow FPL managers recently has been, do you just go with a manager that is most likely to get you wins? So I don't know, at the moment you go for an Arna Slot, or do you gamble a little bit more and focus on that whole bonus and try and go for a manager that could beat teams above them in the Premier League table?
This chip, it will divide managers on that very basis. This is why,
but it depends if you have to like save your rank because you're doing really well or playing catch up, and in that case you have to gamble, and that's the fun part of it.
Absolutely. And I love the idea, like Jules, of leaving it till the end. Like I kind of am a bit undecided whether it will include a double game week, so it'll either be that I'll play it for the first one, like do it in 31, 32, 33, something like that, or I'll play it so that I avoid the blank, or I'll do it towards the back end, 35, 36, 37, probably not 38. Game week 38 is chaos. Like anything can happen in 38. So I'll probably avoid that one. But I like the idea of leaving it late. But if Everton versus Liverpool gets rescheduled and you want to play it over that, then fine. I think for me, the key thing is, and there's a really nice article that's on the Premier League website, if you haven't read it, go and read it, that details the points that the managers have got so far this season, and then the best 3 game blocks that they've had. Because it's not really just about picking the manager that's got the most points so far, which of course is Slot. So he's got 159 points. If you ran it across the whole season, that's how many he would have got. But in his best 3 game block, he's picked up 34 points. Whereas if you look at an Areola at Bournemouth, for example, he's only got 147 points. So you know, 12 less and significantly less than Slop. His best game run, he's got 47, because you have that ability to pick up the points for teams above you. Mm. You know, they beat Spurs. So for me, I look at this chip and I'm like, there's no way I'm playing this safe. There's absolutely no way I'm playing it on Slop, because you can exploit this so well. Now, my original gut feeling was I'm going to play it on Thomas Frank, because I'm going to pick it in a block where Brentford have got lots of home fixtures. They score a lot of goals. They might not get a clean sheet, but I'll play it there. You get the upside of chasing up the league. But actually, his best three-game block sits him like right at the bottom, well, with the exception of Southampton, with 24 points. So I'm kind of looking at it thinking, I'm going to look for a club, a bit like Jules says, if Spurs are still 10th, whoever's in that kind of 8th, 9th, 10th, 11th, 12th positions, go there. But at the back end of the season, if relegation's not settled, I can see me picking a manager that's fighting a relegation battle, because the upside for them is massive, because they've got something to fight for.
Hmm. Yes.
Oh, there's like relegation battle. Ipswich will have two of those three last games at home.
Yep.
Where they will play Brentford, Leicester, and West Ham. Oof.
Yep.
This is, and that also, and I'm saying Ipswich, but we could look at Leicester. I don't know. I looked at them now, but okay, Southampton, I think, would be doomed by then. But there would be two of the other three.
Yeah.
Maybe Wolves still in that position as well. Yep. When you think, wow, okay.
McKenna and Van Nistelrooy have got more points in a three-game block than Pep so far this season, their best ones.
Wow. Yeah, it's remarkable. You have to rethink your thinking with this and just put it into three-game blocks, don't you, rather than long-term.
Yeah.
So yeah, okay. So I think we're quite excited about our chips then, even if there's a few weeks till we're going to play the majority of them, but it will come around very quickly. It does feel like this season is rumbling through. A reminder then, there is no deadline for you this weekend, but it probably is a good idea to hold off on those transfers, because of course every Premier League team is going to be in action between now and the start of next week. The FA Cup action beginning tonight, of course. We're going to be back on Monday though to look ahead to game week 21. I don't want to say we're heroes, but not all heroes wear capes. We're doing a podcast at 7 a.m. on Monday morning to get out to you nice and early. That's commitment. Jules, you going to be in London, or are you going to be, I don't know,
I'll be back.
Maldives,
no, I'll be
somewhere?
Back.
No, yeah. Okay, nice.
No, I'm going to Arsenal Manchester United on Sunday in the FA Cup.
Oh, great. See
where
you
are you, Kels?
There. I'm there. I'm not doing the game. I'm doing the FA Cup draw. So I'll be, when the Premier League teams get through, I'll be overseeing the draw. Don't blame me.
Can we have a nice draw then, please, Kels? Nice.
Hold on a sec. You've got Tamworth first. Okay, the fancy show will be back next Friday. There's no fancy show this week, by the way, because of the FA Cup action. So it's just the FPL pod and fantasy.premierleague.com with all of your hints and tips over the weekend. But I'll be back with the fantasy show a week on Friday, and we'll be back in your ears on Monday. Jules, I've got the privilege of seeing you in person on Sunday.
That's Sam, right.
I'll see you back here. Same place for us, both in our homes in rainy, snowy Hertfordshire in London. Have a great weekend, guys. I was going to say good luck. Nothing to say good luck for. Have a stress-free weekend. See ya.